Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Andrew Hale. And I don't even know what else we ate and enjoyed, but one of those things was chicken heart. And so all the guys said, yeah, that they had all eaten one before and that it was my first time. And so that was just an initiation type thing. Like you had to eat a chicken heart. Lori's saying, no way. Well, that's what I said. But that wasn't a good enough answer, I found out. And so they had the guy come over, they brought it around, and I didn't even know what to expect. I didn't even want to look at the thing. Because like a chicken heart, like, I don't even like chicken and livers. Like, I don't want any of this chicken heart stuff going on. And so I finally cave, which I say finally, it took about 5 seconds, and I cave and ate this chicken heart. But as I'm doing it, you know, you got to close your eyes, plug the nose, and eat it. And I don't know what to expect. And so I'm like figuring, all right, I'm going to chew it 2 times and swallow, which my parents are here, and they know that I can't do that with anything. Whether it was pot roast or it was whatever it would be, I had to chew it and chew it and chew it, and they would make me sit at the table until I swallowed it because I couldn't stand it. But that's what we had for supper. So I'm eating this thing, and I can't swallow it. It is chewy, which is not a word I thought I would use to describe a chicken heart as I was jumping into this experience. So finally get it. It's done. I hardened myself to enjoy this delicacy. And while there are absolutely times that we need to shoulder ourselves, we need to put on that load, we need to pick up a heavy cross, maybe we need to put our steps into motion, and maybe even to act. But if we're going to do that, if we're going to harden ourselves to do those things, our heart must be in a position to become hardened, right? For something to have occurred to it, it has to have been in a place before that. And so as we're looking at this over the next few minutes, we're looking at a tender heart, a heart that is open and available, a heart that wants to be moved, that wants to see a difference made, a heart that is willing to maybe even put themselves out there, to maybe make connections that we wouldn't naturally normally think to make. Maybe we don't even know that are out there. So we're looking for a heart that loves. We're looking for a love that sacrifices, lives life in a worthy way, a way that's dedicated to a difference, institutes impact, and leaves a legacy. So our passage today, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll have the words up on the wall, but also there's pew Bibles there in front of you to follow along. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, and we're going to make our way through that as we go through message this morning. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Pause right there just for a moment and to look at those and to know that these are words being said by Paul to a church in Ephesus who is dealing with specific circumstances that needed address. They were dealing with people that they were living amongst. They were dealing with even the people they were living next door to that might have even been in their community that they were then needing to learn maybe how to rework or become less hard in order to be open to these people. And so even then, giving specifics, urging us to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Okay, so what is that calling and how do I then live in a worthy way? What does that look like? Is that something that maybe we even get caught up in the midst of Christianity, in the midst of life? How do I live like Jesus lived? If I don't do that, am I worthless? We're to then be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, bearing with one another in love. So long-standing, faithful, seeking after. Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So we'll cut it there at verse 6 for the moment. And what I'm wanting to focus on just in these pieces is that, and I often pray for this, especially on a Sunday morning, is the word together, that we want to do these things together, to be unified, to do so with a spirit that unifies us, to do that as a body. And I pray for us to be reminded why it matters that we gather together. We're called to make every effort to unify, to live and love as one, to carry out the vision of God in our context, in our community. And I think a lot of us do that. We're present. We're involved. There's a whole lot that takes place in this community. Perhaps your context or community is Somerville, and it needs to be. That's where you're heart at. I have a love for the people of Somerville, for revitalization, for change, or beautification. Maybe it's for the Madison Grant area and community. Maybe it's even larger to the Grant County region. I just have a heart to see a difference and a change, resources available, access to those resources. Perhaps it's even to a regional or global context. Maybe your heart is open to that. Before I came here, I worked for a group called Western Yearly Meeting, and it was meant to be a regional as well as global connection group. And with that, it was just, there was such a broad spectrum of just locations and people and places, and I'm new to all this ministry stuff. I just left Purdue with a degree, and now I'm supposed to go and take care of all these people and be a Christian Ed director, even though I've not been a director of Christian education or youth pastor or any of those things. Worked in this context, but who am I to come and bring that to these people? And so it's part of the reason when I made the shift away from Western was God called me to do so, but it was also to know that it was just too broad. It was too wide. It was something where I just couldn't really hone and focus in on to be able to have a love and a care for people. And so thankfully we've been able to land here in the Fairmount area. And I think as we look at the regional and global context, that's where our broader network of friends can lend a hand. And so to look at friends in a background sense, but also to look at what is our reality now as we look at our church connections, even in Grant County. Do you know there are 9 Friends churches in Grant County alone? There's a lot. There's one right up the road. There's one right up the road that way too. Actually, there's 2 that way. But looking at Indiana Yearly Meeting and looking at who we are as friends. So friends, we'll have that image up there for giving, breathing life into churches. That's the Yearly Meeting connection. That's our purpose. That's our association that we have as Fairmount Friends. And so friends branched off from the church of the day back in the 1640s. George Fox was a guy who just knew that how it was being done was just not the way it needed to go. There were Bibles chained to desks in churches because they didn't want the Bible to be misconstrued. Noble thought, execution limited people's actual relationship and impact with God. And so, George Fox strikes out and starts this thing called The Way. He starts making a difference and speaking to people. He gets thrown in jail a bunch of times. Other people start following. They go start doing this ministry thing to just open it up. God, we want to strip away all of that which is convoluted, making a difference in how we see you, God. And God, I want to see you. I want to be experiencing you. And I want to be in your presence. And so if we move through the different time frames, there's a whole lot of content and context that we could jump into. But what I want to focus on is Indiana Yearly Meeting started in 1821 and was for many years the largest yearly meeting of friends in the world. It's currently a group of 49 evangelical friends churches, mostly in eastern and central Indiana, but also moving into western Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Illinois. And so IYM was the largest yearly meeting of friends in the world, and IYM was one of more than 30 yearly meetings associated with Friends United Meeting. So we got Fairmount Friends Monthly Meeting, Indiana Yearly Meeting, Friends United Meeting on the larger scale. Currently, the largest group of friends is now in Africa. It's the most dynamic group that's growing, it's changing, it's moving, and as the missions work has gone on over there, the missions is in a point where they're actually equipping the local leadership to be able to go and actually send as well. So it's not just Western folks are coming into Africa telling how it needs to be. We're saying, hey, there's been life change that's happened, and so now we get to experience and see and equip these African people who have a heart for the next country south, or for even to go overseas from where they're at to see a difference made. And so it's really neat to see the different ways that people are taking this on. And so everything we believe as IYM Friends, and whenever I say that, I do mean Fairmount Friends as well. IYM Friends comes from our understanding of the teachings of Jesus Christ, Their early friends sought to strip away everything from Christianity that was not based on the teaching of Jesus as taken from the New Testament. And so the heart of the Quaker message, and I would even say even today as the Quaker message continues to be, is Jesus as at the center. The heart of the Quaker message is the heart of the Christian message. Jesus has come to redeem mankind and sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in the hearts of men. A Quaker message that does not point toward Jesus is not really a Quaker message at all, is a quote that someone said. And so looking to create environments that point towards Jesus, that empower churches and individuals to be disciples and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And so today is IYM Sunday, so we're going to go more into some of the pieces of the different work that IYM does. And there's actually a lot of folks that are connected to Fairmount Friends that are in these places speaking into these contexts to make a difference. And so as we look at some of these different subsections, I want to jump into some of them. And just to highlight a couple folks that do that. And so as we look at this, this was information given by IYM for us to be able to have and to know and to maybe even share with others. But breaking it down as far as looking to 2023 and what the projections and the differences and changes will be. So what our giving supports. And one of the people that helps oversee that and speak into that with the Stewardship and Finance Committee is Dan Carey, who was also the clerk here at Fairmount Friends. And so he speaks into that to help give vision and focus for that. Also, Fairmount Friends is given an assessment amount that we, based on our average attendance throughout the year, and so then we give that assessment funds to Indiana Yearly Meeting, as well as then Fairmount Friends has made the decision multiple times to then give above and beyond that to the benefit of these ministry outlets. And so as I'm talking through these things, maybe it's a time to check out, maybe it's a time to check, you know, how much time is left on the crock pot. I don't know, and I get that it's going to be a lot of information, but I also want to make sure that it's information we know is taking place, that we're a part of, we have a hand in that is active and can make a difference in our community if we took some of those things and maybe applied them as staff and as people of the church, as the church family. So there's several exciting and vibrant initiatives that will continue to happen as we, IYM members, serve our monthly meeting, our community, our yearly meeting, and the world. So the first one I'll jump into is our youth ministry outlet. And so there is $126,000 that IYM is projecting to be used towards youth camping, towards youth programs, towards different opportunities. So summer camps at Quaker Haven, as I mentioned earlier, are going to be going on once again. They've got some neat people that are in charge this year as they look to figure out how do we introduce kids to Jesus in unique, different, or life-giving ways. The camp planning team works throughout the year. They don't just show up in April and May and say, all right, what are we going to do? All right, that sounds fun. Let's do this, let's do that. Let's figure out who's going to speak. No, they start in September and meet every month trying to figure out how do we best do that? How can we tweak this? How can we make that different to create an atmosphere, a culture, an environment where kiddos are just engrossed in the context of what's going on up at camp. Pastor Scott and I are actually blessed to be able to take part in that camp planning team, as well as then Fairmount Friends does host that gathering here at the church on a monthly basis. So we have a very direct impact upon that ministry. There's also a summer internship program for college students, leadership development aspects to that up at camp. There's events throughout the year such as Winter Sneak and Fall Impact, which are junior high and high school events that are weekend events. Just neat opportunities to get away, to maybe make some new friends, reconnect, and enjoy time together. There's also youth invasions that are at local churches. Fairmount Friends has hosted at least one of those. And so those are traveling groups where they go and they invade a youth group, and they then bring leadership, they bring music, they bring games, they bring food, and they bring a teaching for our youth and young people. Our Fairmount Youth for Christ and Campus Life Worship Band, led by the Musselmans and Carrie Pollock as well, was able to go up to Wabash a couple weeks ago and lead music for one of those with a bunch of high school students. Missions is one I've already touched on some, and they're going to be putting $214,000 towards missions through FUM and then a newer associate membership with EFM, Evangelical Friends Mission, to help be proactive in reaching unreached people groups for the saving love of Jesus Christ, and to do so until there is no place left that does not know the name of Jesus. And so as missions works, they pursue healthy and reciprocal partnerships. It's not just something where we're just going to go and we're going to do and then we're going to leave and y'all just figure it out. No, we're working relationship. It's reciprocal. We're going back and forth in this. How do we train? How do we empower? How do we mobilize mission partners above support of just material projects, which need to happen, but in addition to that? More locally, Josiah White is up near Wabash, Indiana, and it's a group that provides space for young people who just need a space to get away and to get some encouragement, to get some teaching, to get some really just refocusing of the mind on what's important and what matters. And our connection to that is most closely to Compass Rose, which is an offset out of that that we get to come alongside those ladies a couple times a year. And so they provide ongoing support for bringing hope and transformation through Jesus to students in that way. Again, looking more globally, education aspects, Friends Theological College exists over in Africa, and we provide scholarships that enable African people to prepare for future leadership positions over there, as well as institutional support. There's also small business training going on in Turkana, which is also in Africa, and that includes a revolving loan used to help business startups by Turkana pastors. Within the states, there's multiple disciple-making initiatives among Native American peoples in different locations, and then as well as they're starting a new ministry in the northern Indian state of Uttarakhand, where the population is currently 99.7% non-Christian. So there's a significant need for something to be going on there, and there's work to be done in that place. IYM also offers scholarships, whether it's for a church to go and do some sort of mission trip and missions work, or it's for an individual that's looking to do some sort of missions work. So if you're interested in that, maybe you have a heart for it, maybe you're like, I don't even know what I want to do, I just know that that's something I'm interested in traveling and want to see the world and see the realities of what people live through, come talk to us. We've got ways to get connections to make those happen. IYM also pours into leadership development. They're going to be putting over $100,000 into leadership development. And so Todd Stroop, who is our clerk of M&O here, is also on the M&O for IYM to speak into leadership, to help with pastoral searches, following up with pastors just to check in and make sure they're okay. And IYM works with broader networks to target outstanding candidates. And it was through this pastoral search connection that I was able to be plugged in here with Fairmount Friends. So I got to see the benefit of it as well. There's also a Kaleo group that's for junior high, more high school age focused, and it's leadership development, looking at if you are a young person who is really feeling the call to ministry, having a sense of, hey, there's something that I need to know, to learn, to grow in, to become more of a follower of Jesus in a leadership way here in the local context. Kaleo is an outlet to be able to do that and involves a time away to do an intensive week of education, as well as them being partnered with some mentors throughout the rest of the year. There's also growth grants to energize and enable a monthly meeting to take steps for greater impact in the community. And so those are things that maybe we could take advantage of as well. Pastoral training, $75,000 goes towards that for pastoral retreats and leadership development opportunities, as well as then pastor workshops that are also a part of the Friends Ministry training program that is moving to make improvements and changes and has online access as well. And that doesn't just mean you have to be a pastor. It means if you have some sort of interest in doing ministry of some kind, and ministry is just a term to say work of Jesus in someone's life, then we can get you connected to some of those things. There's also curriculum written by Christian Education Committee. They coordinate that. Adult Sunday School curriculum is developed under their guidance. Lori LeSure, Scott Sugar, and I are a part of that committee, and so we get to have a direct line into pouring into people on a broader scale. We're also developing a Friends Youth curriculum, so a 10 or 12 week organizational, not organizational, 10 to 12 week class, I guess you'd call it, for junior high and high school students, and I was asked to help have a hand in developing that, so that is also in the works. This group also oversees the recording process. It's a recording process, something I've recently been able to go through, but it's a rigorous adventure that allows individuals to gain tremendous experience and training as they prepare to serve as a pastor or in a pastoral way in their local context. And so it's a process that ensures the candidates are solid in their faith, in their doctrine, in their teaching, in their serving, in their shepherding and listening. And this process is vital for the life and vibrancy of our local monthly meetings, and for the entire yearly meeting as these folks serve and minister in a local, regional, and national level. So I just want to take a moment to thank Fairmount Friends for putting me in a position to do so. Normally the process takes 2 to 3 years, and I was able to do it in 8.5 months. And so it's just a neat space to say thank you to the church, thank you to my family for supporting that and just giving me space to stay up late and read and write or to have to get up early and do those things just to make sure that's taken care of. So just an applaud and recognition for you all has given me time and space to be able to meet those requirements. Multiplication, there's going to be putting $15,000 into multiplication. So many people within IYM have a renewed passion for not just planting new churches, but also finding ways to multiply said churches. And so even looking at Fairmount Friends, is there anything we're doing that is multiplying, that is not just, all right, we're going to add this new thing and just add on, but that we are actually building up our people, we're building up our leadership, we're building up people that want to become more followers of Jesus and to multiply them in different ways. And so does that mean that we're going to just go and plant a church somewhere? Maybe, I don't know. But I can tell you we have a history of it. Back Creek Friends just north of town planted Fairmount Friends. And the Fairmount Friends has since planted Upland Friends and Vermilion Friends to the south. So we have a history of doing that in a multiplication way. And we also, if you think about it in maybe in a different form, it doesn't have to just, again, be planting of a church, but it could be we have our hands in just lots of different places. Maybe it's in the school system with an after-school program. Maybe it's we're in coaching. Maybe we're involved with Main Street Fairmount. All the different ways that we have people that you all are making a difference in your community. There's ways that I don't even know about, and I would love to hear about the ways that you make a difference. Those are just different ways that we could look at multiplication as well. And then they also support retired pastors and ministers that have just a need for financial support after having served faithfully, and then they're continuing to work towards improving communication to make both IYM known, but also the tools and stuff that they put out there available. So all said and done, here's a pie chart. That's IYM. Doesn't look tasty, especially that gray part. So just to give a visual of the breakdown of how the finances are actually broken down, with gray being the missions, and then leadership development and pastoral training and youth ministries being the next top three. So just to give you that context, give you that background, I know that was a lot. There's a lot of monies that go towards those things. You can take that down, Blaine. Thank you. And so just all said and done, here it is. But why does it matter? Why do we share all that? Why do we even maybe bore you with some of those details, if we're being honest to a certain degree? I know for me, it just helps me to know that I'm part of a larger story. It helps me to know that I have such a heart for this community, and I want to be poured in, plugged in, connected, and making a difference here. But also to know that how can maybe something that we're doing could help someone else somewhere else. Or maybe what they're doing, we could then apply here and just find helpful. And so there's a narrative at work. God orchestrated life in such a way that we get to participate in the life he offers for us to live. And we get to do this in our local community all the way to influence on a global scale. And so leadership is influence. We get to lead people to Jesus. Not only do we get to, Scripture tells us we are gifted to do so. So picking back up in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 7. So we again, focus on that word gifted. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captive and he gave gifts to his people. Jumping to verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So to equip his people. As a pastor, my job is to equip. It's not just to do and to make it happen. I want to do those things. I like doing those things. But it's to equip, to come alongside, to help raise up people, to make people have a space where they can have an outlet, to give an opportunity for people to know that they have someone in their corner, but also for our people to know that we are to then look for someone to shepherd us and to know that when that's not happening, maybe we need to ask questions. So the human shepherd is to equip and set the people on a course of power bestowed by the Lord. And so we work to do so in a way that all are built up, unity is incessantly present. We are working towards whole person health, towards excellence in life. And excellence meaning mature in the faith, reaching to the fullness of Christ. So it's one thing that we're reaching towards, but it still has to be bestowed. It still has to be given from outside of ourselves for us to then make a difference that lasts and leaves a legacy. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants. So having those pieces that we are now equipped, we are then going to be united in faith. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so let's be very clear here. We talk about Jesus. We talk about becoming like him. We talk about doing the things that Jesus did. But our goal as Christians is not to become Jesus. Our goal is not to become the head. Our goal is not to become, have all the wisdom and the knowledge and all of the know-how. Our goal is to become the body that has a head. The body is working together. The body has to become mature. The body has to grow. It has to work alongside one another, right? We talk about if the eyeball can't feel what the hip feels and the hip can't do what the foot does. And all of those pieces, how we work together with our ligaments and our tissues and all of the different aspects of our body and how we're created. And so if we understand that we're not trying to become Jesus, we're trying to look like him, to live out life like he did, and that is in a life-giving way, a way that speaks. Proverbs tells us that our tongue has the power to bring life or death. Is there a gray area there? We either bring life or we're bringing death. If we're not speaking life, by default, does that mean we're bringing death? It's hard to argue with what Scripture tells us there. But if we know that we have a head that is outside of us that needs to be put a part of the body, what happens when that head doesn't come? What happens when that head is removed? Or if we have someone who tries to operate as the head, and then what happens to the body? Well, to maybe help illustrate that, what happens when a chicken's head is cut off? I see a few smiles. Well, I can tell you that its heart doesn't taste very good. But if you look at a chicken, yes, I bookended chicken here. All right, starting with chicken, we're going to end here with chicken. Maybe a little graphic. Beheading disconnects the brain from the rest of the body, but for a short period, the spinal cord circuits still have residual oxygen in them. So without input from the brain, these circuits start spontaneously. Anybody else have like a twitch every once in a while? Yeah, that's what's happening when you remove the head. And this isn't just chickens. This happens to humans too. So without input from the brain, these circuits start spontaneously. The neurons become active, as says Dr. Tom Smulders of Newcastle University. The legs start moving. And so maybe you've seen it videos, or maybe you've even experienced the chickens running around just for a few minutes after their head has been cut off. And usually when they're removing the head, the chicken is lying down. But in rare cases, neurons will fire, and they will start running around. Normally. In the 1940s, anybody ever heard of Miracle Mike, the headless chicken? Nobody. Awesome. Cool. So Miracle Mike, the headless chicken, was in the 1940s. So most chickens only survive a few minutes. This chicken survived 18 months. Yeah. A little different, had a little bit of help. Let's get into it. So in 1945, in Fruta, Colorado, there's a farmer by the name of Lloyd Olson. There's the Miracle Mike. He's a beauty. Farmer Lloyd Olson and his wife were in the midst of cutting off heads and preparing the chickens for what needed to be done to get them ready for consumption. So he's attempting to behead his Wyandotte rooster, and he had succeeded in severing the chicken's head, but while doing so, he left the jugular and part of the brainstem intact. Both of these facts meant Mike, the now headless chicken, had enough brain function to keep living. They've speculated since then it was probably about 80% of his brain was still present, even though it had been removed, because chickens' brains are smaller than that. And they're at the back of the head where the eyeballs connect. And so when you remove the head, there's a little bit hanging out up there that is covered by feathers that you can't see there. There's other pictures too. I'm not saying you should go and Google it. So he had a working heart, he had lungs, he could eat, he could walk, he could even perch like other chickens in his life. Now, how he got on the perch without falling, I don't know, because I've tried to perch before. I wouldn't want to do it without eyes. So word spread around Fruita about this miraculous headless bird. And so, of course, a local newspaper dispatches a reporter. Eventually, someone in Salt Lake City, about 300 miles away, comes out, and he has a simple proposition. He says, let's take this chicken on the sideshow circuit, and let's make some money as we travel around with Miracle Mike, the headless chicken. And so to keep him alive, Olson used an eyedropper to deliver food through Mike's esophagus, and he cleaned up any mucus that Mike could choke on with a syringe. Like I said, he didn't do this alone. So they would travel all the way to California, to Arizona, to the whole that section of the United States. So the guy that came around and initiated this name was Hope Wade. So they took Mike on a tour of the Southeast U.S., and of course they had to return home for their harvest time. So 18 months after he was beheaded, Mike, unfortunately, died in a motel room as a result of an inhaled corn kernel, and Olson forgetting the eyedropper at their last show's location. So everybody's got to carry an eyedropper now, just in case you find a headless chicken. And here's a crazy fact. By that time, so by 18 months later, they had earned $4,500 a month in the 1940s with headless chicken shows. I think I've got everybody's attention. So, we found out that the chicken will indeed run for a little while, says Dr. Smulders, but not for 18 months, like 15 minutes or so, which means that they tested this out. Anyway, so to become the functioning body of Christ, we need the brain, right? We need the head. We need the eyes. We need the head that's going to bring the network, that's going to bring the wisdom, that brings something that the body just can't function without. And so all of that still exists outside of the body. And while the body learns how to function, maybe we can make do for a little while. You know, maybe we can remove Jesus from our leadership, and we can make do for a while. We know how to do church. We know how to do these things. We've still got connections in the community, and we can make things happen. But if we lose sight of the why we do what we do, if we lose sight of the origin of our both creation and our salvation, we need that head, and we need it always, every context, every moment. In order to leave a legacy that leaves a difference, we need that head. And so Indiana Yearly Meeting is a larger piece of the body. They're not the head. Jesus is the head. IYM is a larger piece of the body of believers who love Jesus Christ. And they exist to help people to be disciples and to make disciples. Indiana Yearly Meeting works to help breathe life into churches and that we can make a difference together. So I want to hit Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 again, and then we will close. So instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so what is your work? Where is it that you are already doing things? Maybe you are making a difference. Maybe you're pouring into that person, that neighbor. You're bringing their trash can. Whatever it might be, you're serving. You're making a difference. You're seeking. You're mindful. You're aware. What do you bring to the body? Maybe even it's a pivot from that. What is it that you envision? What is the vision you would have to see the body make a difference doing? Do we let obstacles stand in the way, or do we strive to attain unity with those obstacles to move towards a body that is active and moving? Do we let obstacles define the narrative, or do we get to dream? And as we figure out how what to do with the different chairs and the different pieces in this building, it's freeing us up to be able to dream, yes, about the function of our building, but about the ministry that we get to do and not just Sunday mornings, but throughout the week as we provide spaces for people to meet. Close with this quote from Mark Batterson, who is a pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. He says a couple of them. He says, if you are big enough for your dream is not big enough for God. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. And God is not offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. He is offended by anything less. If your prayers are not impossible to you, they are insulting to God. And maybe that's a strong statement. It's maybe even overreaching. I don't know. But what is it that you have burning inside of you, as Pastor Brock talked a couple weeks ago? What is it that you have that you want to see a difference made? Maybe it's, I want to help flip a house, and I have no money to do it, but I have the thoughts on how to do it. Maybe it's, I want to see a care for an elder in the community. You know, whatever practicality it might look like, let's dream. We get to do that, and we have a broader network that's standing behind us historically, as well as that's supporting us now, that we get to do so on a broad scale, that we get to be a part of. There's a narrative that God's doing in your life, and it's good. Let's pray. God, as we hear information, as we take it in, maybe it's something we just let go of. But God, we want to be open to you. We want to speak to where you would have us move. We want to listen to what you would have us say. We want to be open, to have hearts that are tender. We want to celebrate those things that need celebration. How do we do so in outlandish ways that make people know and remember? I remember that moment. I remember that time. I remember that thing. Maybe we need to just sit and to grieve and to be present along with people. Maybe we need to not even know what to say, but just go and try. Maybe we need to not say anything. God, where is it that our culture and our homes needs to shift? Where is it that our understanding, our approach to life and to work could maybe make a pivot, because we're not getting the results we want? Maybe we need to be the one to change and shift. So God, as you work through IYM, as you work through Fairmount Friends, as you work through each of our lives and in us and towards us as well, God, thank you for providing the head, for bestowing upon, and for making known Jesus to us. We're forever grateful. We love you, Lord. Amen. So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.